Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding. This is your host, Mark Schindler, joined by Will Guillory, coming at you on Tuesday night after what ended up being a jam-packed Tuesday night slate with only three games tonight. Will, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing well, man. This is our first time doing a ding together, which I'm excited about, giving a different look, giving the people something different. So I'm excited about it. We've done a pod before, but I don't think it's just been us two on the pod. So we got to show these people how it's done.
Definitely. We got to hit them with the dribble handoff, see what we can get going towards the rim. Starting off in Oklahoma City tonight, the Thunder absolutely dog-walked the Boston Celtics, finishing up 150-117, a new franchise record since they moved to OKC in 2008-2009. And that was without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who was out tonight due to illness. Josh Giddey had a season-high 25. Lou Dort chipped in 23. Trey Mann, Jalen Williams, and Isaiah Joe all had 21 each. Jalen Williams with he pulls out some saucy dunks. I love watching him play. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown combined for 56, but the Celtics shot pretty abysmally from deep. Just 12 of 40 from deep tonight. Their defense overall was, giving up 150. That is indicative of where they were at. Will, what did you think of the Celtics tonight?
Yeah, for the people listening at home, Mark didn't say 115. He said 150.
Yeah.
150 in regulation. Well, to Isaiah Joe, Aaron Wiggins, and Jalen Williams. 150 by the Boston. So, this was one of the ugliest losses of the year for Boston. If anything, it kind of reminded me of watching Boston early last season where they were coming to these games and just not really care for half the game. And then by the third quarter, Marcus Smart is pissed and he gets kicked out. And it's like, man, with Boston, they were so phenomenal to start the year, and it feels like the past couple weeks have just been up and down, up and down. Maybe that's just them kind of getting bored with the regular season, but this was just a really nasty loss, giving up five guys, 20-plus points, and most casual NBA fans probably haven't even heard any of those five guys, maybe other than Josh Giddey. I think we got, as much as I want to crap on Boston for this game, I think Isaiah Joe deserves a shout-out for what he did in this game, 17 in the second quarter, when OKC really started to blow up the lead, had a big dunk as well in the second half. I really like what he's been doing at OKC. Just an ugly loss for the Celtics. 5-7 in their last 12. Just not what you want to see from a title contender.
Yeah, definitely. I liked what you said in terms of hitting on, what they've looked like compared to the beginning of last year. It feels very similar. The defense, like we just talked about, I felt like the Thunder had at least like 15 dunks tonight. They were getting anything they wanted down the lane. And that was nice too. This was the best Josh Giddey's looked driving the basketball his career. And that's, coincided with the entire last month of play. So a really nice showing for OKC. I hope teams are starting to get the message. You cannot walk into Paycor Center and expect an easy win. This team plays hard and they're getting more talented. So this is a fun game. Moving over to Utah, a heartbreaker for the Utah Jazz, falling 117 to 115 to the Sacramento Kings in one of the most unexpected. If you hadn't seen this year or had any inclination of what this year would be going into this year, you'd think 117, 115 Jazz Kings. Okay, whatever. But you look at this, De'Aaron Fox was just unreal in the fourth quarter, followed by Lauri Markkanen also being pretty fantastic in clutch time himself, barely missing the time cutoff, getting up a last second heave off of an incredible inbounds play from Jared Vanderbilt.
I mean, for people who didn't watch this game, you got to go see that Lauri Markkanen shot right before the buzzer. It was wild to see that he hit that shot. And it was like 0.1 seconds he was off from hitting like an incredible game winner. It was a really tough one for Utah.
Without a doubt. I mean, De'Aaron Fox, too, continues to just be masterful in clutch time this year. He was having a good game already, but finished with 12 in the final 4 minutes of the game. Did not miss a shot from the field in the final 4 minutes of the game, including a dunk that punctuated the end of the game as well, coming down the lane. Lauri Markkanen himself was really darn good in this. Like I think he's averaging just over 30 points per game over his last five. Continues to play at an all-star level. One of my friends who's a scout was texting me during this game. He was like, "This is like the most convincing five-game losing streak I've ever seen from a team watching the Jazz play. Every game has been really close. They continue to wear the best jerseys in basketball when they have the alternates on." I mean, what other takeaways do you have from this game, man?
I mean, yeah, you mentioned it. I thought Fox was incredible in the fourth quarter, scored 22 of his 37 in the final period, hit a bunch of big shots at the end, had the big dunk put the Kings up. I think they were up four after that dunk. Utah just kept coming down and responding. And Fox was just like, "Nah, I'm shutting the door on y'all." Every single time. I thought it was really impressive. And on the other end, I thought the Kings just had a comedy of errors defensively, which allowed Utah to stay in this game. I mean, a play where they're down four, they're inbounding the ball, and they foul Jordan Clarkson before the inbound, which allows them to make a free throw, cut it to three, stay in it. It was just they had a wide open corner three that Utah missed. Like we mentioned, the Lauri three that almost won it. I guess his foot might have been on the line, so it was a two. But the Kings did everything they could to keep Utah in this game, but Fox ended up winning it for him in the end. And man, every time I watch Sacramento, I just go back and forth, because the way this team's playing, they deserve an all-star. There's no doubt about it. But I'm just like, which one is it? Is it going to be Fox exactly. or Sabonis? Fox or Sabonis? Because I don't think both of those guys are going to get in. But I think one of them has to. And it feels like every other night, it's like, well, Fox should get it. Well, Sabonis just had a triple-double with 20 rebounds. And it's like, they're making it really difficult. But I think ultimately, in my mind, when I watch this team, I think Fox is the best player. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just think, you know, you got to give that team credit, because there's no doubt they're going to get an all-star. And it's starting to feel like there's no doubt they're going to break this streak, man. 17 years. Light the beam up. They're going to the playoffs, man. It's crazy. Shout out to Mike Brown and what he's doing with that young squad.
Yeah, I agree. It's been such a blast to watch. They're up to 20-16 now on the season. They were ahead of the play-in ratings, play-in rankings before tonight, and they'll stay up above there. I'm excited to see how they finish out, especially like you mentioned with Mike Brown. They've done some fantastic stuff this year.
Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army Knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it. Tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Moving over to Milwaukee, this game was 123 to 113 final score, Milwaukee against the Washington Wizards. Did it ever feel that close to you, especially in the waning moments?
No, not as long as Giannis Antetokounmpo was on the court. There was absolutely nothing Washington could do with that man. It was basically a layup line for him in the fourth quarter. He ended up with 55 in this game, and it felt like he had 75 because he just scored every single time he touched the ball. The Wizards could do nothing with him.
Yeah, he finished with 19 in the fourth quarter, and it felt like almost all of that came in the last 4 or 5 minutes when they just got run out after run out after run out after run out. And I mean, I think that was the real indicator to me. The Wizards, to their credit, I thought were pretty good defending in the half court. But if they missed anything at the rim or weren't able to at least get some semblance of a defensive front in back before transition happened, they were just in massive trouble. I mean, Giannis absolutely ragdolled Kristaps Porzingis a couple times.
Oh, he had goodness.
What I think was maybe, at least for me, maybe I'm biased because of you know, being a 2010s kid, but I think that was the best missed dunk I've ever seen since DeMar missed that dunk against, I think it was Japan in the 2016 Olympics.
Oh, the 360, right?
The 360, yeah. That's yes. He just about killed Daniel Gafford tonight. The dunk didn't count, but man, it may as well have counted.
Yeah, it was wild. And it's just continuing this crazy streak the NBA is on where it's like every single night you turn on an NBA game, somebody's scoring 40. It's crazy. Giannis, in his last 7 games, he scored 40 four times. In the last 7 games, I wrote it down, he's averaging 40 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists. He's attempting 16 free throws a game. Ridiculously dominant. I got to shout out Brooke Lopez and Bobby Portis. Those two guys were really good in this game, combined for 38 and 25. The front court for Milwaukee was just way too much for Washington to handle. But, I mean, man, Giannis has just been on another level the last week or so. And, as much as I love watching it, part of me just looks at this Milwaukee team and says, man, it's a lot on Giannis's shoulders. And, you know, part of it was Drew Holiday's first game back. I think he was coming back from an illness or something. Mm-hmm. They brought him off the bench. He didn't really do much of anything. Of course, Chris Middleton's been out for a minute. But, man, as much as I love watching Giannis just, you know, dunk on people or almost dunk on people and score 55, it's just like, man, I don't know how much longevity you have with what they're doing, but it's fun to watch for now.
Yeah, I agree. Especially like you mentioned with Brooke. I mean, he finished with 21 and 12 tonight, and that was the story. I mean, he was a beast on the offensive glass for them. They really were trying to wall up and sag off of the weakest shooter on the court, and he was demonstrative attacking the offensive glass, finished with 6 offensive rebounds. Kyle Kuzma went 2 of 13 in the fourth quarter, and that was largely because Brooke was everywhere defensively in that fourth quarter stretch. Finished with 6 blocks tonight, and it felt like more when you look at what he was doing in terms of just impacting and deterring things at the rim. But I agree too. Like, Joe Ingles has been a nice presence back, but in terms of adding another guy who can get downhill and create, hasn't been there. So I think we're really hoping to see a lot more when Chris Middleton is back and fully healthy. But it feels like we keep saying that over and over again. So regardless, it's hard to look at this and just like not do anything but admire like what this guy is doing, watching somebody in their prime just eviscerate a team that's actually been playing pretty well lately.
Yeah, I mean, Giannis, like I said, he's just been at an incredible level. He's adding on to this list. It's like, what, like over 50, 40-point games over the past month. It's wild to see he's contributed like 5 of those games himself. It's wild just because with Giannis, it just feels it's very Zion-like, and we'll probably get to Zion in a little bit. But when he's doing these 40, 50-point games, he's just physically overwhelming teams. It's not just like he's hitting a whole bunch of shots. It's just like it's demoralizing for the other team, the way he just kind of punks them, the way he's getting downhill and dunking on them. And it's just like there's nothing you can do. Poor Kristaps, he's 7'3", the tallest man on the court, and Giannis just folded him up like nothing, going to the lane on that one drive. It's just crazy to watch Giannis just in his prime, just full force, just crushing people the way he is these past few games.
Yeah, 100%, man. It's what's so incredible, too, because, like, I mean, just even looking at it, like, Kristaps is a pretty mobile guy at 7'3". And then I think, you know, when you see Giannis coming up down the lane and Kristaps is trying to even hang with him, you see just, like, the shit. Okay, it's like, yeah, there's levels to this, man. And it's one of those, like you mentioned, I think this entire stretch is one of those months where I just have to, like, really sit back and be like, yeah, there's a pretty damn incredible level of talent in the league right now, and we're seeing some really special stuff. One last thing on the Wizards front, Bradley Beal ended up leaving the game tonight. Did not return after, I believe it was a hamstring strain. So hoping that he is able to get right after just coming back, seemingly. So, yeah. Last thing to wrap up on, as you alluded to, Zion Williamson is out for at least the next 3 weeks. This is a pretty massive blow to what has been my favorite team to watch in the NBA so far this year, the New Orleans Pelicans. They've been off to a tremendous start. Will, I'll just turn it over to you, man. Obviously, you are the guy to talk about with this. So, you know, what is initial takeaway and reaction to this?
Yeah, I mean, just first and foremost, it just really sucks because Zion was playing at such a high level, man. He was really, you know, getting back to who we think he can be on a basketball court. Just 28 a game, 7 rebounds, 5 assists over the past month. I mean, just really just being a dominant force when the Pels needed it, right? With Brandon Ingram being out as long as he has with that toe injury, just carrying them on a lot of these nights offensively, making huge plays in the fourth quarter. And I think really stepping his game up defensively is something that people haven't given him enough credit for. And, you know, I think part of it is probably him probably just taxing his body a little bit too much with B.I. being out. I think that might have played a part in this. You know, maybe it's just a freak accident. But unfortunately, man, it's just a story I'm all too used to covering this team. Whenever there's a lot of optimism around New Orleans, you just got to check that injury report because something's probably going to pop up. And, you know, up to this point, they've had that issue with the injury report, and they've been able to overcome it with their incredible depth on this team, and perhaps they'll be able to continue to do that. I think Brandon Ingram is really close to coming back from his toe injury, so that'll be a boost that they need. But, yeah, it's just really tough break for Zion because I know he was so desperate to get back on the court after missing all of last season with that foot injury. He was, you know, just every time that he had to sit out this year, he was just like, nah, I got to get back. I missed too much time last year. I got to be on the court. And for now, to see him have to sit out for the next 3 weeks at least, you know, and with a hamstring injury, you never really know. We just mentioned Bradley Beal, who came back from a hamstring injury and re-injured it, is something we see over and over again in the league. I'm sure the Pels are going to be very cautious with him. And, you know, I just kind of just feel bad for him, man, because I know he wants to be out there and show what he can do on the court. And unfortunately, he just caught a bad break. And now the Pels are going to have to scramble and figure it out again.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more with just talking about, you know, hoping that he's able to get right and get back to what he's been doing, because he's playing like a fringe MVP candidate this year. He's been unreal. It's been awesome just to see him healthy and doing the things that, I mean, I feel like every day I'm clipping a new thing from Zion. Like, I've never seen anybody do this before. Just going off that as well, when you look at the CJ McCollum trade and how important that's been this year, obviously CJ got off to a slow start, but it's gone kind of under the radar how electric he's been since just before the holiday season. Last 10 games, averaging 26 points, seven assists, shooting 46, 50, 85. So he will, of course, be needed to take on a bigger load, continuing to do what he's done. I'm excited to see how this team handles this, and just to see Zion get back, hopefully. But that'll wrap it up for today's Daily Ding. Will, take us out of here, man.
Ding, ding.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.